Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Today's Daf is Chulin Daf Nun Tes. We begin right on the top line. Continuing on the topic of very sharp foods, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Hayman, the ochel, if a fellow sits down to eat, tlasa, three amounts, tikli, so that these are weights, of chiltis, three shkolim, certain kind of a weight, of the chiltis, Rashi says in Shabbos, mishkal shlesha zehuvim. Okay, so three coins, so three coin weights, basically a big amount, okay, a big amount of this sharp food, this chiltis that we discussed yesterday, which can really heat up a person and trigger a real serious fever. And he eats it alibu rekan, an empty stomach, no less. Mishtalach mishmashche, his skin will just shed, dry up and shed. So it's a bit too much. Amar abavo, bididi ava uvda. I myself personally experienced a similar thing. I ate just one amount. Va'ach lichad tikla, one of the, let's say, you know, 1 pound, whatever, one instead of three. I only ate one of the chiltisa, and it almost undid me. If not for me jumping straight into the water and sitting there to cool myself off, my skin would have just shed, and due to the fact that I was aware that I had this information, I saved myself. So I applied it on myself. Hachochma, wisdom, knowledge, can protect a person. Techaya baleo, gives life to its owner, to its. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Hayman da ochel shitzri bi. Okay, here comes another bit of an extreme diet. So a person eats shitzri bi, 16 eggs. Okay, to start off, v'arboy amagoyzim, 40 nuts, walnuts, v'shev, and 7 seeds of a tzlaf tree, but v'shev butisa, 7 seeds, the parchi of the tzlaf tree. We're not done. V'shasir v'yasa de duvsha, plus a revius of honey, and he does it in the heat of summer, but kufas tamas, alibi l'rkana, no less on an empty stomach. Shoo, misakar talya, the connection of the alibi of his heart will get uprooted, meaning it'll be very detrimental to his heart. A little bit too much to endure. Ahu bar tavya. Okay, there was a story about this young deer. The also lebe Reish Galusa arrived at the Reish Galusa's household. Afsa mafsuk karan. So its hind legs were detached, were cut off. Basrai said the hind leg were cut off. Batke rab b'tamisagid. So Rab says, okay, missing legs, but as long as the tzemes agin, you know, the cluster of nerves, sinews are still intact, you're okay. So he checked those. Actually, since they were there, he allowed the animal. Savar lemeicha mani bumtza. He figured, okay, I'll have a piece of the basar bumtza, you know, lightly roasted. Amar le Shmuel. So Shmuel turned to Rab. He says, okay, I understand it's not a treifa. You've confirmed that, but what about you know, health concerns? Lechayish mar, are you not concerned? Lenikuri, perhaps the reason for this strange hind leg phenomena is that perhaps the animal had been struck by a snake, in which case the venom content can endanger the person eating it. So maybe his condition is due to that type of encounter. Amalei, so Rav tells Shmuel, my takanta. Okay, so how do we proceed? So he says, noisvi betanura. Stick it into the oven for a proper roast, and then you'll see if in fact it's healthy meat or not. You badaka nafshei, so the material itself would self-inspect, meaning you'll see. Okay, oisvei, so you put it in the oven, and he sees as it heats up, nafal tilchi tilchi, it's coming apart, pieces disintegrating due to the acidic venom content. And he knew that he was just saved from eating something poisonous. Kari Shmuel alei the Rav, so Shmuel exclaimed on Rav, wow, Hashem saved the tzaddik from pitfall, from Sakana lo yu'una letzadik al oven. No misfortune reaches a tzaddik. Kariv Rav Levi the Shmuel, and Shmuel in Rav, in turn, in appreciation of Shmuel, coming and saving him with his wisdom, with his insight, applied to him the pasuk in Daniel. Kol ras, any secret, loy honestly, is not missing from him. Meaning, Shmuel the great chacham, Baruch Hashem, he had this great insight to save my life. Continues the mission. Now we take a little shift. We've concluded the treifa sugya. Now we shift to the simanim. What are the kosher signs? By the behema, by the chaya, the birds, the fish, grasshoppers. Says the Mishnah, simanim behema v'chaya nemim ratayra. Regarding behemos and chayas, behemos are the more domesticated varieties. Chayas are the more less domesticated types of beasts. So the kosher signs on these, we all know from the Torah, right? Split hooves and malager, choose its cut. Simona behemah v'chaya, nemar min haTorah. That's pretty straightforward. What about birds? So interestingly, the Torah does give us a list, a comprehensive list of non-kosher birds, 24 in total, but there is no specific delineation in terms of what constitutes a kosher bird and what doesn't. We have to surmise based on the characteristics that we observe in those birds, and we deduce that that they represent the non-kosher species, in which case now we know what's considered kosher. So the exact simonim of a kosher bird was not really specified in the Torah, aval amru chacham, but based on observation, chacham concluded as follows. There are a total of four signs which determine the kashrus by a bird. Number one, kolayf hadoiris. Tell me, a bird which snatches its prey off the ground, that's tummy. Perhaps that's indicative of aggression, of a more violent nature. You know, the Svarim HaKadoshim speak about the fact that in general, all the kosher materials come from a more kosher source, of more kosher spiritual source, whereas the non-kosher materials, animals, birds, fish, are sourced in the opposing powers of tumah, of unclean powers. Hence, they are tummy as well. And that's why we're instructed by the Torah to ingest only kosher materials, which in turn will help us, right, rise in our spiritual quest, right? V'skadishtem, v'isem kadoshim, right? So a bird which snatches its prey, tummy. On the other hand, what are the kosher signs of a bird? Kol she'esh le'etzba yaseira, a bird which has an extra finger down at the bottom of his leg. V'zefek, so it's like a sort of an added finger sticking up. V'zefek, he has this part of the digestive system called the zefek, the crop. V'kur kavane niklav, and his gizzard, which is further into the digestive system, can peel. So the layers peel, come apart. So if he has these simanim, kur kavane niklav, he's tar. Okay, so bottom line, a bird which exhibits the Simona Tahara, he's not a Doris, he has the extra finger, he has the Zefek, etc., he's tar. And later we're going to see in the Gemara, actually, you don't need all four to be tar. Even if you exhibit just one Simon, you're tar, provided you're not one of those 24 exceptions, the non-kosher birds listed in the Torah. Rav Lezer B'Tzadok Omer, I'll give you another sign, Kalev HaChelek Es Raglav, a bird which splits its legs, so if it sits on like a wire, two fingers on either side, that's also a simon that he's tummy. Uba chagav, what about grasshoppers, which even today the Svaradim eat? Those that have a masorah identify the specific grasshoppers that were eaten throughout the generations. They go ahead and eat this, provided it conforms to the signs discussed in the Mishnah. Bachagavim, regarding grasshoppers, kol sheyesh lo arba raglayim, if he has four legs, v'arba knofayim, and four wings, v'kartzulayim, and two longer front legs, which facilitate his jumping, uknafav choyfen esruba, and his wings covered the majority of his body, Rabbi Yossi Omer, One more condition, Ushmoy Chagav, provided that he's called Chagav. He's part of the Chagav, you know, family. Interestingly, Ruchaim Kanievsky Shlita, when he was authoring his Sefer on grasshoppers, called Karne Chagavim, very apropos, and he had some sort of something that he had to figure out, some feature, some sort of characteristic that we find on the grasshopper, and he was trying to get a clarity on it, and suddenly, out of the blue, this grasshopper lands on his windowsill right in front of him. And all he needed to do is take a look and observe the grasshopper from up close. And he got the clarity that he needed, and he continued back to his sefer. Unbelievable siyata d'shmaya. It's a well-known story of a person who is immersed in Torah, and he gets special heavenly assistance, min hashamayim, just suddenly. The exact grasshopper that he was looking for, that he needed to see, came flying over, got a first-hand view. Goodbye. He left on his merry way. Okay, regarding fish, ubedogim, what are the signs of kosher fish? Okay, again, that's in the Torah, right? The fins on the scales. Kol sheyesh lo snapper has the fin, kaskasas on the scales. Ubedoimer, it's two in one. Shnei kaskasim snapper echad. He only needs to have two scales. And one fin is enough. Velun kaskasin. How do you define the kaskasin? What are they? Hakvun boy, those are flush to the skin, attached to the skin like a fingernail, right? Like the scales on the skin. Usnapirim, what are they? Haperech mehen, the fins that he uses to navigate through the water. Tana Rabbanan. Elu hein simanei behema. So these are the following are considered the simanim. Kosher signs of a behemo, right? As we have in the pasuk, called behemo mafrasos parso, an animal with fully split hooves. And the pasuk continues, v'shersa shesa shtei proses mala skera, right? Regurgitates its food, chooses cud for another, does another grind on his ingested food. So these are two kosher signs. That's the pasuk. So Raisa continues. Kol behema shemalas geiru. You should know an easy way to figure out the kosher type. Take a look at the animal. If it regurgitates, if it's malas geiru, then you know biyadua she'en lo shenayim lamala, that it's lacking frontal upper jaw teeth, which are only needed when the animal does not regurgitate, because then it needs to digest it better, chew it better the first time. But the malaskera type of animal doesn't need that extra set of teeth. And you know, it's kosher tahira. Okay, so these things are sort of a link, they're synonymous. Malaskera equals no teeth, which equals tahara. Ask the Gemara, really? Is that a set absolute formula? Uklalahu, that a klal? That malaskera with no teeth means that he's tahara? You know, in the psukim there, the Torah does give us exceptions. Typically, right, if a behemah has those two signs, the malagera, mafas paras, that's okay, but there are three exceptions. There are some that are like the camel, like the shafan, the hare, the arneves, the rabbit. They are malagera and still tame. On the other hand, you have the chazir, we'll see later, whose mafas paras, split hooves, and is tame as well. So how do you set such a rule? Uklalahu? Very good, we'll take a look at a camel. The malagiru, it has that. V'english shenayim l'mal, it's lacking those teeth. And he's still tame, but tame. Well, so the Gemara Gamal, although he doesn't have a proper set of upper teeth on the front of his jaw, but nivi islay, he has the canines, two sharp teeth, one on either side, which compensate. So he's in. Ask the Gemara Bari ben Gamal, but a young camel, which hasn't yet developed those canines, the nivi, those nivi nami lassi, doesn't have it. And he's a malagera, he's still tummy. Apparently your formula is not an absolute formula. Next question. What about the shafan and narnevis? The Torah itself tells us. Vesu hare shafan, var nevis. Those two animals, the malagera and their malagera, v'yeish lehen shenayim l'malo. So the malagera, and they still have the teeth. Utmein and their tummy. So apparently these things are not linked to each other. You can have malagera with the teeth. Void, furthermore, who's to say that teeth or lack of teeth are any indication of status? Void, shenayim, teeth. Miksivi by rice. Is there any mention of teeth in the Torah as a sign of kosher? Ella. So due to these questions, the Gemara revises the intent of the Bryce. Ella chikam. Bryce meant like this. Kol behema she'elo shenayim lamal. We start the other way. If you notice no teeth, we do what she malaskir. Then you know for sure he's a malaskir. Uma first is Paris. V'toyer at least toyer. So it goes the other way. Lack of frontal upper jaw teeth indicate that he's a kosher animal. He's certainly malagira, certainly mafis parsa, and he's tor, provided that you see that he's not a camel, he's not a young camel. So that's discounted. Everything else with this type of quality is going to be tor. Ask the Gemara, v'livdeg b'parsa seo. Why do you have to guess around? Just check the hooves. If you see split hooves, then you know that he's tor, because if you have split hooves, then certainly it goes together with malagera. So as the Gemara was speaking, that he can't really tell because the hooves are gone; they've been severed. Kegoyin shahiyu parsusei chasuchas. Its parsus were cut off, so you can't really discern. The next best way is to determine based on his teeth content. Lack of teeth indicate malagera, which indicate mafras parsa and tahar. Ukad Rav Chisda, as per Rav Chisda's piece of advice, the Rav Chisda, Hayimalcha Midbar, a fellow is on the road in the wilderness, and he encounters a behemoth which is not familiar to him. It's not a cow, it's not a regular sheep, and he wants to know whether it's kosher. Umotza behemoth, he finds a behemoth sheparsa secha tuchais with cut off hooves. What does he do? Buy the grafia. Okay, next best. Take a look at the mouth. Emelo shenayim lamalav. There are no upper frontal jaw teeth. Biyadu ashitahir. He knows it's kosher, as we said before. Vimlav. But otherwise, if it has teeth, biyadu ashitmeh. Then he knows it's tamei. Now, lack of teeth are only considered a confirmation of purity if, in fact, this is not going to be a camel. Well, vach yakir gomel is provided that he discounts this as a camel. He knows this is not a camel. So once that's off the table, we assume an animal with no teeth is going to be tor as mentioned. Says the Gemara, Gomel Nivi Islay. Why are we concerned about a camel? If it would be a camel, you would have the canines. And he would see that. Elo bevat sheyakir ben gomel. No, the concern is that he might have encountered a young, undeveloped camel, which doesn't have the canines. In that case, even if it's lacking teeth, it can still be tamei. Unless he's certain that this is not from the camel family, in which case, lack of teeth indicate tahara. Says the Gemara, who says? Maybe just like there is an exception with the camel, maybe there's another species that we're not aware of that has no teeth and is still going to be tummy. Lav Amris, haven't you told me, Ika ben Gomel, there's this phenomenon of this young camel, no teeth and still tummy. Ikanami minachrina. Maybe there's another minachrina, the dummy ben Gomel, which is similar to the ben Gomel, which is tummy despite the lack of teeth. Loi salka daitach, we can't suggest that there are more exceptions. Because, as we explained, there's certainly a direct link between the lack of these teeth and the malagera characteristic of the animal, right? So, here we have an animal that he finds in the desert, no teeth, which means he's malagera. Does that mean he's tohar? So the answer is, unless he's one of those three exceptions that the Torah listed for us, the camel, the shafan, the arnevis, which despite being malagera, still tummy. So unless this one is one of those, you know, he's okay. There are no other exceptions. Let's talk about that. We can't suggest this concern. The Tani, Tver Bishmoel, as he teaches us, Ve'ez ha'gomel ki ma'alai geiruhu. So which ma'alai geiruhu can we not eat? The gomel. And also the shafan, the arneves. And Hashem knows what's going on. Shalit ba'olam, Hashem who controls the world, created the world. Yeah, he knows full and well what the exceptions are. And he pointed them out to us, indicating that we're limited to those to that list. Yehuda, he knows, she'en l'cha dover, malagera, there's no other animal that is going to be a malagera and still be v'tami. Elo gamel, except for the gamel and the other two, like we mentioned, which are listed in the parsha. L'fichach parat ba'akos of hu. That's why the pasuk adds the word hu, malagera hu, only this, these are exceptions. There are no other exceptions. So now you're safe. So bottom line is like this. If you can tell straightforward, split hooves, etc., then you go. But let's say you can't. Hooves are gone. Unidentifiable. So you take a close look at the mouth. If in the upper jaw in the front, it doesn't have teeth. That's synonymous with malagera. Because he has the added digestive process. He doesn't need those extra teeth. Which indicate that it's tar, provided you're not the gomel, Shafan or Arnevis. Another piece of advice for a fellow traveling out in the wilderness. He's on the road to Motza Behema Shapir Gomel. He encounters a Behema with a mutilated mouth. You can't really tell what's going on in terms of the teeth or lack of. So what's the next formula that he can use? Boidek Parsha Seah. So this time he has hooves. Okay, so he checks the hooves. They're split. He knows the animal is good. In Parsha Seah Shadukos, if it's feet are split. Bidoshi Tahira, that confirms that it's Tahar Vimlav. Otherwise, Bidoshi Tmei, then he knows it's Tami Bashiyaka Chazir, provided he knows it's not a Chazir, a swine, because he's that one exception who has split hooves despite being non kosher. Says the Gemara, maybe there are other exceptions as well. Lav Amrazik Chazir, just like you tell me there's a Chazir to be concerned about, the Ikonami Minachrina, perhaps there's another species, the Damel Chazir, which has similar features to a Chazir. So split hooves perhaps doesn't confirm anything. Well, once again, the fact that the Torah only singles out the Chazir as an exception indicates that is the one and only exception in this category. You can't suggest a concern. The Torah of Rabbi Shmuel, as we learned in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, that's a Chazir came out for his parsa who keep away from the Chazir despite his split hooves. Shalat ba'lomi yadei Hashem, who created the world, knows she'en l'chadav Hashem amas parsa v'tami, there's no other animal with this feature, that is Mafra's Paris and still Tommy, except Ella Chazir, except for the Chazir, the Fichal Parabah, because of who, that's why it says who, this and none else. Here's a third aspect to this discussion, Bamar Chizda. He's on the road and he has no indication, not from the mouth and not from the hooves. Himalapa Midbar, Motsu Behemah Shapia Gum, encounters a Behema whose mouth is, you know, unidentifiable. And as well, the hooves. So you can't check the mouth or the hooves. What do you do now? There's a third option. Do the shechita, and then check its flesh. There's a telltale sign. In a certain area, by the shank bone in the back, by the tail area, a certain piece there, if the grain is going crisscrossing back and forth, then you know it's a toher animal. But otherwise, you know it's not kosher. Again, provided he can identify the aroid, the wild donkey, which is non-kosher, despite having this crisscross feature. So if he knows this one is not an aroid, he discounts that off the table. And now he knows he's kosher. Well, so the one, maybe there are other exceptions. Lav, amris, ikaroid, just like you're telling me about the aroid, who's an exception. Ikonami, minachrina, the damil aroid perhaps is another exception which is similar to the aroid. Kmiru delek, we have a Kabbalah tradition, and there is no other exception. Veicha boidek, now where is he going to look for this crisscrossing piece of meat? Amar baye, vitemer, abir, chizda, back in the, by the tail area, bekanfia oikids, back by the tailbone. Okay, so bottom line is, what are the simanim of a behemah nechaya? Primarily there are two, as stated in the Torah. Mafra's parsa, split hooves, and malagera, choose its cud. Now, if you can't really tell, what's an easy way to tell? We take a look at the teeth. Then you know he's okay, provided this is not a camel, a shafan, or a neves. Or alternatively, you take a look at the split hooves. As long as it's not a chazir, you know he's good. because once he has that, he has the other siman as well. None of the above applies. You take a look at the at that specific cut of meat, and if it runs, shasi ve'erev, you know you're okay. Continues the Gemara, simon echaya. So in general, what makes a behemoth kosher makes a chaya kosher as well. Split hooves and choose its cut. But there's a difference between the chaya and the behemoth. Regarding the chaylev, a behemoth has forbidden fat content. Since it's meant for the mizbech, it's not meant to be eaten by an ordinary person. As opposed to the chaya, whose same material, the same fat, is mutter. It's not meant for the mizbech. Chaya is not to be used for a carbon, right? Its fat is mutter. Now, how do you differentiate between this family and that family? And behemoth and chaya are very close in nature and appearance. How do you delineate the difference? How do you differentiate? Okay, simon chaya. Tanu rabbanu. We have a raisa. Elohim simon chaya. Here comes the signs, kosher signs of a chaya. Before we got a chance to conclude the our statement, asks the Gemara, what do you mean? Why a new set of kosher signs for a chaya? Chaya b'chal behema hi l'simon. Regarding kosher signs, the same signs that apply to a behema. Malagera, Mafra's parents apply to the Chaya as well. Right? We have a psukim, right? So it's a Chaya Shatoichlu, the same idea. First is parents, Shazaz Shasa. Omar Abzeira, no, we're talking about permitting its fat. How do we classify Chaya? Omar Abzeira returned to Amar Beis, Lahatur Chelbo. How do we determine this to be a Chaya regarding permitting its fat for consumption? The Brisa means like this. Elohim Simon Echaya Shechel B'Mutter. Of course, to permit the meat, we apply the same rule as the behemoth. Mafra's parsa, malagir. But how do you know it's a chaya versus a behemoth to permit its fat? Shechel B'Mutter. As follows. Kol Sheyesh L'Karnayim B'Tlafayim. This beast has horns and hooves. We'll get to that in a minute. Unique horns, different than a behemoth's horn. It's enough that you confirm its horns to be a chaya horn, and once that's determined, you don't have to seek the hooves, because you know that he's going to be a kosher variety. Okay, so even if you can't find the hooves, they're cut off, whatever, you can't confirm that it has split hooves. These unique features found in the kosher chaya's horns confirm not only that it's a chaya, confirm that it's a kosher chaya. On the other hand, yesh lo tlafayim, even if you confirm split hooves, tzorach hata lachzor al karnayim. So even though you confirm that it has split hooves and it's a kosher chaya, but who says it's a chaya? Maybe it's a behema. Who says you can eat the fat? For that, I have to go back to the horns to confirm that it's a chaya. So two things are needed. First of all, confirm that it's kosher, and confirm that it's a chaya. The Brisa continues with keresh. There was a special, unique beast called a keresh, a unicorn. Even though it only has one horn, very different than your standard, it's still a chaya and it's still a mutter. Okay, says the Gemara. It seems from the Brisa, any beast featuring horns and hooves is a confirmed chaya tahir. Klalahu, is that a rule? Is that a reliable formula, klalahu? Already A's. Take a look at your local goat. Yesh le karnayim tlafayim, it has horns and hooves, and it's still a behema, v'chal bayit asur. Kurucha is being, the answer is like this. Not just a regular horn. It has to be ring, layered. Working its way up, layer by layer, right? Like rings on top of each other. So that's the sign of a chaya horn, which of course a goat doesn't have. It's more like uniform, a singular entity, whereas by a chaya, it's like rings stacked on each other. Kruchais by Beina. Okay, what about a bull? The kruchais, whose horns are layered, and he's still classified as behema. V'chal be'asr nechel be'asr. Charuka is be'inan. All that we need one more feature on the horns of a chaya. Charuka is grooved, which a bull doesn't have. What are the a's? What about the a's, the goat? The charuka is whose horns are grooved, and you've told me it's still a behema. V'chal be'in nechel be'asr. V'futzel is be'inan. Third condition: the horns have to be branchy, like, you know, like a deer, right? Says the Gemara of Arei Tzvi. What about the Tzvi? And interestingly, Rashi says it's not what we call a Tzvi. We're accustomed to relating to a deer as a Tzvi. Rashi says it's a Steinbuck, like a wild goat, different type of variety. Arei Tzvi, the Aim for Tzeles, whose horns are not branched, so it can't be a deer. Rashi says our deer have branched horns. So whatever this Tzvi is, it doesn't have branched horns. V'chel be'mutar. And his chelav is okay, because he's a chayos. You see, that's not a requirement. Says the merchadurois v'inan. There's another condition. Chadurois. Chadurois means they're round. As opposed to like the, you know, like more squarish and symmetrical, they're like round, like a tube. So that also indicates chaya. And that's what the tzvi has. So bottom line is like this. You don't need the horns to have all four features. Let's see. Chadur has been hilkach, therefore. Hilkach, heichad miftzila. There are some, you know, features that are way heavier than others. If it's branchy, loy dino loy dino, there's no discussion. There's no din, there's no dino, there's no discussion. It's a clear chaya. So that factor weighs heavier than the rest. If you have that, you're good. On the other hand, hechad lo miftzel, if it's not mefutzel, like the tzvi, so you're missing that. As long as you have the other three features, be'inan kruchos, it needs to be layered. Chadurois, round, v'charukois, grooved. And the Tzvi has that, so he's a chaya. V'hu demivlachar kai. Now we speak about groove, there has to be like lots of grooves intersecting each other. V'hainu sveka de'iza charkos. So because of this list of requirements, there is a suffix that's triggered, uncertainty regarding a special, unique goat called the Izo Charkois. Rashi explains, because he has Chadurois, he has Charukois. But the thing is that he's called an Aes. He's called an Aes. So by way of his name, it would indicate that he's from the Behema family, like an Aes, like a goat, which is a Behema. So that triggers this uncertainty, and hard to confirm exactly which family he belongs to. Okay, now, just go back a second. Rashi explains the need for all these features to confirm that he's a chaya. Why? You see, you need to be charuka, is grooved, and that sets you apart from the bull. The bull is not grooved. You also need to be chadurois, which is the more like a roundy tubey shape, as opposed to the goat, whose horns are more like flat and symmetrical. Kruchais, which is the layered, you know, stacked design, that also is to contrast it from the goat. So basically, all these characteristics are meant to set this beast apart from those other animals which are classified as behema, despite having, you know, one or more of these features. So once you have them all together, all three, so if it's branched, it's certainly not a behema, because no behemas have that. But if you're not branched, your horns have to present all these characteristics, which rules out any type of behema and confirms you as a chay. because otherwise, like we said, some of these characteristics are found by behemoths. But if you have them all together, that's unique. That certainly points to the chaya nature of this beast. Continues the Gemara, "Ahi izo karkas." So in fact, there was this this sort of semi-goat, the Avoy Beirish Galusa, which was in the household of the head of the exile, the head of community in Babel. In any case, they shechted it. So it's certainly kosher, but it's either a behemoth whose chaylev is asur or a chayah whose chaylev is muta. Of course, they pulled out molei tzana de tarba, a full bucket of fat, mina, from this beast. And the question was, if it's kosher. So what happened? Rav Achai asur, he forbade it. Shouldn't eat it. Rav Shmuel b'rei d'Ravo achal minei. On the other hand, Rav Shmuel b'rei d'Ravo helped himself from this fat. Karen Avshen, he applied to himself, the pasuk. If you know what you're doing, then you could eat, and you enjoy it. Pre-pi'ish tisbabitna, you can satiate yourself. Pre-pi'ish, because of his ability to determine and to pasken and to rule that it was okay. So, all the gain. Okay, Shalcha Matam. It was a message sent from Eretz Yisrael regarding this matter. In fact, Halacha follows the second opinion that it's mutter, because this beast is really a chaya. But don't negate Rabbi Avo's opinion. His strict opinion, don't negate it. Don't negate his opinion. Treat him with respect. Don't permit it in front of him, you know, in spite of it. He's such a great man. He enlightens the eyes of the generation, of the Golos, of the community in Babel. Basically, he's a great man. And we have to accord him proper covet, proper respect. So even though the halacha is otherwise, but Rashi says, you know, try to convince him and try to, but don't be matir in front of him. Don't actually considered kosher in his presence, in spite of his, The Keresh, Avo B'Shein Le'Keren, Achas Muta. What about this single horn beast? Even though it's just a single horn, it's Muta. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Whoever saw this animal, Keresh, this Keresh is really has another name, Tavio. It's like a deer, the Bei Eloi, from this forest called Eloi. What is a Tigris? Tigris comes from the word tiger, perhaps, a big beast. That's the, has another name for it, Arya, it's the lion, the Be'eloi, from this forest Be'eloi. And it's a real impressive beast. Here goes, Amar Rav Kahana, Tesham Hasa, you know how big this Arya is, this Tigris? There is a total of 9 amois, huge area, Havi ben Una Luuna, between one ear and the other. So basically his head is so wide. Of this line, the Arya of the line, the Beiloi. Omer Yosef, Shitzer Amhos, have a mashke the Tavi Beiloi. The mashke, the skin, the hide, peeled off from the Tavi Beiloi, is humongous. It's Shitzer Amhos, 16 Amos long. That's how big they are. Omer Le Kesler Bishum Hanani. We find throughout Shas that the Roman ruler would engage Rabbi Shimon Hanani in discussion, debate, and although on the surface it appears perhaps like just trivial discussion, but the Mefarshim explain that there is a deeper meaning behind it. These the debate, kinds of religious tenets, and about Hashgacha Pratis, which the Goyim didn't believe in, and etc. etc. Amar Leikes Rishu Mechanan, Aleikeichem Kar Yemasel. You know, your Hashem is compared to a lion, right? A mashal of a lion. Dechsev, as the pasuk says, Arye Yishag Melayira, right? Just like when a lion roars, everybody's gripped with fear. Likewise, when Hashem speaks, similar effect. What's the big deal? Comparing Hashem to a lion? A lion is just an animal, parasha. Any hunter. Kotel Ari can kill a lion. What's the big deal? Amar Leis, he says, no, lavkai Ari muscle. You think he's compared to a regular lion? No, Ari the Veiloi muscle. He's compared to this grand lion that we discussed before. Amar Leis, he says, wow, you intrigue me. But you know the Mirsus Le'Neali. I'd like you to give me a tour. Show me that lion. Amar Leis says, no, Le'matzah's Chazal. You can't see him. It's too overwhelming. Amar Leis, he says, Ibra Chazina, I insist. I want to see it. You have to show him to me. Ibra Chazina Leis. Okay, boy, Rachmi, so Rabbi Shimon Chai, Damit to Hashem, is Akim Miduchtein, this lion, left his den, and he started coming closer. When he was all about 400 parsa away, that's pretty far. Nim Chat Kola, he gave one roar, one single roar. And the whole place trembled. Afilu Kol Apilu, they almost carried. Kol Abart, all the carrying women miscarried. Vishuri the Rome, the wall of Rome, Nafal, collapsed. That's how powerful a roar it was. And the Machat Las Meir Paris, when he got closer, he was only 300 Paris away. Niam Kol Achrina gave another roar. Nasir Kacha Vishini, the guy, everybody's teeth fell out. Vafu, and even the king, Nafal Makurisaya, Lari fell off his throne down to the floor. Amalei says, okay, enough is enough. Amalei, he told Rabbi Yeshua, keep him away. Matu Saminach, please, I beg you, boy Rachman, please daven. On this animal, they should make a U-turn and go back home. L'hadlu duchtei should go back to his place. Boy Rachman, Alei, so Rabbi Yeshua, Chanani, daven. V'hadlu asrei, and in fact, he made his way back home, and the king did without it. Okay, so we discussed careful eating, a balanced diet. We discussed how Rab was saved at the last moment by Shmuel, who was Kol Raz Lo Yanasle. The standard Simon of Behemah Bachaya, the Mafresh's Parsim Alagera. We have Reb Chizza's keys, his formulas, in case you can't, in case you're on the road, and he gives you these tricks to determine kashrus. We have the Simonim, what sets a chai apart from a behemah in terms of his unique horns. And we had some discussion regarding Rabbi Shon Hanani with the Kesar about the Ari de Beiloi, which was connected to the Tavi de Beiloi, which was that questionable sort of goat, which turned out to be kosher due to the fact that he's a chaya. The fat was kosher due to the fact that he was a chaya. Okay, all the best to you, Natzlacha Rabbah.